that what is the Jewish view on, you know, how do we view what happens when someone is sick or passes away? So in Judaism we have special rules. Obviously, when the person's alive, so obviously we do everything we can. We do them, whether you're Jewish or not Jewish. Obviously, that's what the nurses do and the doctors, and we take care of our patients, whatever they need. So, however, we're all human, so eventually we're going to pass away. So what happens when that day happens? Hopefully not for a long time. So in Judaism, so we try to do the burial. Again, so we have Jewish patients, Jewish residents, and non-Jewish. So for obviously whatever your religion is, so that's what you'll do. But I'm just talking about what happens if you're Jewish or in the Jewish religion. So number one is you call up, there's a number you call up. Obviously you just have to make sure with the family, everyone has a choice. They could be buried anywhere they want or to be buried. So assuming the family, that's what they want, so you call up the Jewish funeral home, and there'll be a number, I'm not saying you, but that's what's done. The nurses or the head nurse will know, and they come and they pick up the body. So we just do the minimum. We just cover up the body here and don't, because we don't want to do too much, because a lot of things have to be buried, like if there's blood on the patient. So part of Jewish law is you bury them with some, you know, with the blood or other things. You do some basic cleaning, and then basically you cover the body. And then when they go to the Jewish funeral home, they go through, it's called the Tahara, purification, where they go through the Jewish ritual. They prepare the body for burial. And then every Jew is buried it's like a white robe. It's called the kittel, but it's a white robe because we're not buried in your clothing, because we don't care if you're a billionaire or you're afflicted with poverty. It doesn't make a difference to God. Everyone gets the same burial. So you don't get buried in your clothing. There's no like open casket. Basically, the last time you're going to see the person is before the burial. Once the burial, we have clothes buried, because we want you to remember the person when they were vibrant, not at the end when they were suffering or in pain. And basically, we go, the quicker the body is buried, the quicker is the atonement. The quicker the body is buried, the quicker the body decomposes. And the quicker the body decomposes, the quicker the atonement. So therefore, in general, we try to get the burial done as quickly as possible. In Israel, they'll do it on the same day even, but we can't do it. Generally, the best case, if someone passes away today, we shoot for tomorrow. You know, and again, if family lives out of town, I don't mean like Toronto, they live in Israel, they live far away. So the reason we bury the person right away is honor to the dead. But if you're going to have a funeral and the kids aren't there, that's not honor to the dead. So therefore, we wait for within reason. If the kids are on vacation say they're not coming back until 2 months, then we don't wait. But if they're coming, you know, obviously you give them reasonable amount of time to come back, and then you have the funeral. The more people at a funeral, the better. It's more honor to the person who passed away, and also to the live family members. So we try to do the burial as soon as possible. Then we have what we call Shiva, 7 days, that we begin the mourning process right away. Like we go straight from the cemetery, you go back to the person's home, and they don't leave their house for 7 days. Basically, people come to them. The Jewish custom is during that time, they make meals for them, because you're not supposed to make your own meals. They come and make meals for you, and therefore we sit on the floor or on a low chair, and basically it's very tiring, Tom, but it's very therapeutic. Basically, you talk about your mother, father, your loved one, whoever it might be, and people come and ask you about them, and that goes on for a week. And also you have prayer services in your home. And after 7 days, we go to the next stage. It's what we call the new normal. Like, everyone agrees you need time to mourn, because if you don't mourn, psychologically speaking, if you don't do it right away, it's going to hit you, whether it hits you in 7 weeks, 7 years, 3 months, everyone's going to get hit. So therefore, the psychologists say they like the mourning procedure. And the first thing you have to do for mourning is you have to accept the fact that it happened. It isn't easy. It's surreal. Like, what do you mean my mother's not here anymore? So we have two things we do right before the burial. Well, one is we rip the garment. If it's a mother and father, you do it over the heart. If it's someone else, you do it on this side. So you rip the garment to try to make it real. And then you actually put the earth inside the ground. We bury with the earth in the ground. We do burial. And therefore, the person who's the family members do the burial in order to help them to accept the reality that, you know, unfortunately, this person is dead now. Because you can't mourn if you think the person's still alive. So the first step is you got to get out of, you know, which is normal, you have to get out of the shock and the reality that it actually happened. And once you do that, then you could start to heal. So we have 7 days of healing. After 7 days, you could go back to work. But obviously, it's the new normal. Like, you still don't have, your mother's not coming back, or your father. You have to, that's why you can't deny that it happens, but you have to move on. And therefore, we have a transition. We walk around the block after the 7 days to show we're about to start. So usually mourning is 30 days, but if it's a mother or a father, it's a whole year. So the different stages, it gets lighter and lighter. The 7 days are the strictest. Then the next 30 days, let's say I can't shave or whatever, haircuts. And then when the year, it's only for a mother and father, so it lightens up. So we do the burial right away, and we do the Shiva. By the way, in Judaism, we believe in burial, let's say not cremation. We're against cremation for two reasons. Number one is from a philosophy, theological point of view. See, most people today, if they do cremation, it's because maybe it's cheaper, environmental, whatever. But back in the day when it started, it was it's basically you were denying that it was a denial of God. That basically you're saying you don't believe, but not necessarily of God. In Judaism, we believe in the next world. I mean, we're in this world now. We're all here temporarily, hopefully a long temporary, but it's only temporary. And then we believe in the next world. So the good people will get rewarded, the bad people will get punished, and therefore the next world is the main world. So therefore, so if you do cremation, you're denying the next world. You're saying, who needs this? I'll take the ashes, I'll throw them in the ocean, and this is it. There is no next world. So back then, that's why we were very strong against it, because if you deny the next world, you're not going to get it. But besides that, practically speaking, even if you took the ashes and put them in the ground, it's not really burial anymore because it's no longer you. Of course, I have to point out, if someone unfortunately is burned in a fire, of course you're going to take whatever the body is and bury them in a cemetery. But I'm talking about someone who consciously goes ahead and does cremation against the religion on purpose, and, you know, so then that person might not get the commandment of burial. But we're against cremation. And then today there are a lot of modern technology questions about organ transplants. So there are two types of organ transplants. There's one when you're alive and one when you're dead. So there's certain organs you could switch, you can make like a kidney donation. So again, every case is different and you have to know the situation, but the rule of thumb is that...
One of my friends... I don't know, like, she has fetal alcohol syndrome because her mom used to, you know, drink alcohol and she was really sad, but she had, like liver failure or something. Yeah.
Did she have a transplant?
No, she's waiting for that.
Oh, she's waiting to have one. Yes, yeah, so the different parts of the... There's some parts you could do a transplant. So therefore, it used to be... So back in, let's say, 50 years ago, it might have been, or maybe longer, it might have been prohibited to do a kidney transplant because it was too dangerous. Today, with modern technology, I wouldn't say it's a normal procedure, but people do it. So in Judaism, it's always a risk-reward because you're not allowed to commit suicide. But it's a big it's a big commandment to save someone else's life. So obviously, you do it. So without risking your, you know, you have to weigh the risk to your life versus helping someone else. So that's all, you know, every case is different. And then those are, but that's a live transplant. That's when you're alive. What about when you're dead? Like in the back of your driver's license, they want you to sign, don't. So we, in principle, we're pro, not in practice, meaning I wouldn't let them, you know, because there's a lot of corruption, unfortunately, going on and who and what they do with your body, what happens to it. But in theory, yeah, we agree that if a person could give the donator, and we have separate, we have, it's called HOD. There's a, like a Jewish one where you sign the card and you have to speak to the rabbi and he'll tell you what you can and you can't do. But in principle, we agree it's a good thing to donate an organ after death. If you could help someone, why not? However, the real, so in general, we're pro. The issue is what about donating a heart? So the problem is, if you're dead, the heart doesn't do any good, and you're alive, are you going to kill someone? So obviously the question comes up now is, because what we have, it's called brain dead. So that's a whole debate among different religions, different societies. How do you define death? Is death defined by your heart? As long as your heart is pumping, you're considered alive, even though, let's say, your brain dead, or no? So that's the whole question. So if you assume it's the heart, so then you can't do a heart transplant because then you're a it's a fine line between being a murderer and being doing something good. But if you assume brain dead, then that's the perfect setup. With brain dead, you could, that's the time to harvest the organ and give it to someone else because you're considered dead legally, but you're not, therefore you're not killing. So that's a whole discussion, that, you know, a debate among Jewish different decisions, whether, depending which one you believe, you'll come to a different conclusion on whether you're allowed to do a heart transplant or perhaps some other ones. But in general, we're pro live donations. Like, you always have to do the risk reward, and then as well, if someone could donate something from the body and save someone's life, so it's a very good deed. Again, if it's a heart or something else, then you have to speak to your own local rabbi and see what the opinion, what he thinks the opinion is on whether brain death or that, and then whether you could do it. In Israel they have it that, you know, they do organ donations. The chief rabbi in Israel said that we go with brain death, and therefore you could therefore when a person's brain dead, you could transfer organs. That's part of the issue. Like, all these questions are, there are a lot of details to it. Every person's different. You know, what the scenario, you always have to ask a personal question. But those are some of the general rules of burial and post-burial organ transplant and, you know, Jewish mourning practices. And it's always with the criteria, it's always honor to the dead. You always have to treat the dead you have to treat the living with respect, that's a given. But you also have to treat the dead with respect, and therefore what's considered respect, what isn't, could depend on different cultures and different, you know, different religions, what they consider something respectful and, you know, and what isn't respectful. Any questions?